I wonder how many of you have walked up or down Dawson Street, looked at a fabulous building, said, oh, that's nice, that's where the Lord Mayor lives, and thought no more of it. Well, to tell us a little bit more about it, and to tell us about your chance to go in and see it, I am joined by historian in residence with Dublin City Libraries, Cormac Moore. Cormac, welcome to the Friday edition of Northside Today.
Thanks, Tony.
You're here more often than myself on the Friday slots. The Mansion House, first of all, I presume it dates back to Imperial British time in Ireland.
Yeah, it was actually a guy called Dawson, from Joshua Dawson from Dawson Street. So it was actually the early 1700s. And actually, it was Dublin Corporation bought it in 1715. And it's been the residence of the Lord Mayor ever since.
So right.
Over 300 years.
I had this thing in my head that it was actually, you know, like a lot of the other buildings that we see around the area, we'll say for argument's sake, like our Sanuchthron, our Garda headquarters, that it had, it was in their possession up until they left,
No.
So it was actually Dublin Corporation.
Yeah, so it's the Lord, they bought it from Joshua Dawson, and since 1715, it's been the Lord Mayor's residence.
And did anybody live in it? Did Dawson live in it? Or
yeah, but only for, like, it was only built only a few years beforehand, you know, so it wasn't, it was pretty much, Dublin Corporation bought it pretty much
so
a few years after it was built.
So we can trace property speculation in Dublin back that far, Cormac.
You can indeed, yeah.
So go on and tell us the history of it after that then.
The purpose of the open weekend, I suppose, it's where it really comes to prominence is with the whole revolutionary period. It was obviously Lord Mayor's residence, so a lot of events happened there. A lot of people, like Daniel O'Connell was Lord Mayor of Dublin. You had George, the actual round room was built for George the Fourth. So there's great portraits, there's great, when you go into the actual building itself, you see all of the history coming alive, you know, and you see all of the people, portraits who would have lived there and who were there, like George the Fourth. But the purpose of the opening weekend is retracing back to the revolutionary period and the importance of the Mansion House in that. So we did this, the Lord Mayor actually opened up the house in January, for the actual 100th anniversary of the meeting of the First All, and it was such a success. I don't know if many people here went to it, but the numbers of people who actually went that weekend to the Mansion House was huge, and that's why the Lord Mayor said, look, let's do it again, let's reopen the Mansion House again. So it's going to be opened on Saturday the 6th and Sunday the 7th from 10 to 5 p.m.
And the actual, we'd say, the building itself. First, Cormac, and this is something a lot of people ask. During their tenure as Lord Mayor, do they actually sleep there at night, or is it just like sort of an office that they go in
I presume not all have, but yeah. there is a residence there for
them. Yeah,
there
is. I mean, I suppose, really, for a lot of people, and a lot of people would have been very surprised with this, that the First All sat in the Mansion House. Everybody thinks the Dáil, Leinster House, or they might have even thought Dublin Castle or somewhere like that. But it was actually the Mansion House.
Well, it definitely wasn't Dublin Castle anyway. That's where the British administration were running the show. But so the round room in the Mansion House. Now, the great thing about this next weekend as well is that it was actually very hard for people in January to go to the round room, because you may remember the televised meeting of the Oireachtas with Michael D. Higgins that happened that weekend. So the people, actually the public, could not go into the round room. Like, they could go in, they had a look for some of the days inside, but they weren't allowed to go into the round room. On next weekend they will be able to go into the round room, and that's where the meeting of the First All was. Now, there was, Sinn Féin had 73 seats won in the 1918 general election, but that was 69 people. Four of them won two seats. But most of them were actually in prison or on the run or in exile. So it was actually only 27 people of the 69 people that would have attended were able to attend the very First All. Because most of them, as I said, were in prison under the German plots arrest from the previous May, or actually in exile in America and elsewhere. And obviously the Unionist MPs who were elected, as well as the Irish Party ones, they declined the invitation to attend a meeting at the Fort Stall, and they went to Westminster instead. So it's a very historic moment, you know. But the Mansion House is not just a meeting of the Fort Stall, which obviously is hugely significant. But Laurence O'Neill, who was the Lord Mayor at the time, he was Lord Mayor from 1918 to 1924. He opened it to all different types of people and all groups, and it actually did become a significant venue for a lot of key moments in that kind of Irish revolutionary period. For example, on the very day that the Fort Stall met, on 21st of January, right before the Fort Stall meeting, which was in about 3 o'clock, half three in the afternoon, there was a lunch for the Royal Dublin Fusiliers who had fought in the war. So how ironic was that? You know, there was people who had fought for the Empire, and they were being replaced by people who were usurpers of the Empire as such. So he was a very open-minded Lord Mayor. You know, he allowed the doors to be opened to the Mansion House. So, for example, the anti-conscription campaign of April 1918, where all strands of nationalism gathered together in opposition to people having to, you know, commit to go to the war, they all met in the Mansion House and had a very successful anti-conscription conference. So people can, you know, we'll be all there. All of us historian residents will be there. Donald Fallon will be giving regular talks as well on the Fort Stall and the Mansion House's significance to that. So loads of people will be able to really find the full history of the Mansion House role in the Irish Revolutionary period.
How much of it, Cormac, because I've been fortunate and lucky enough to have been in it on a number of occasions, and I never cease, or I always stop, and it never ceases to amaze me the workmanship and the craftsmanship that's in it. It's an absolute,
it's a beautiful building, yeah.
Absolutely fabulous building, and the furnishings and the plasterwork and the decorative work that's in it is magnificent, and I really would encourage people to go in and look at it, because at the end of the day, folks, it is your building.
Yeah. And the coach is going to be there as well, the Lord Mayor's coach. That's going to be available on Saturday.
But the question, Cormac, that I'm coming to in a long-winded and roundabout way, how much of it is original, as was when Dawson built it? Now, I know that there has to be massive upkeep in it, and the older the building, the harder it is to...
I don't know, is the honest answer, but a lot of it is definitely back from the 1700s.
Because I would imagine that to replicate that today would be near impossible.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You go into the building, you see some of the rooms, and there's no question that that's authentic from... back when the house was built. You know, you look at the parlour room, or you look at the oak room, which is, I think, a lot of people have probably been at functions at one time or another. The round room is very rare to get into the round room. So that's a great room to go in. And that was actually built for, as I said, George IV. So that was in the 19th century. But that's a great room. And for that alone, I would suggest people to have a look at it, because it's very rare you'd be able to go into the round room. Whereas the oak room, where all the private sessions of the Dáil met, that's more accessible and more people there. But they're all most of them are dating back right to the beginning of when the house was built.
Well, if that be the case, and I have no doubt that Cormac would not tell me a lie, then it is doubly worth going in to see it, because, I mean, it is absolutely magnificent.
It's a beautiful building, absolutely. And it's seeping with history.
Seeping with history, and as well as that, you know, you really, really, really need to go in and look at this to appreciate it. We can draw pictures where you hear mental pictures on air, but when you walk in and just stand and look around, it does take your breath away, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Now, there was a certain Ulster organisation who decided in 1981 that enough was enough and they were going to demolish this building. And they told nobody. But I see here August 2006 that they rang in to say that they had planted a bomb in 1980. I'll just read it up, because I know, obviously, it wasn't funny at the time.
Yeah.
But in August 2006, the Loyalist paramilitary group, the Ulster Volunteer Force, claimed they had planted a bomb in the Mansion House in 1981. In an attempt to wipe out the Sinn Féin leadership at their party conference that year. And here is the humorous bit, if you want to see it as such. The claim led to a security alert at the house as the Gardaí and the Army searched for a 25-year-old bomb.
A 25-year-old bomb in 2006.
In 2006.
Yeah, yeah. With no success.
Obviously not. But I mean, it is amazing that, like, the thing that really, really stands out for me with that building, as I say, is everything about it is magnificent and majestic, even as you walk up to it.
It's
a building that almost draws you into it.
Yeah, of course. And the fact it's right in the city centre as well. And, you know, it's our building, I suppose, as the public. And that's why the Lord Mayor has opened it up on these both occasions this year. I suppose to celebrate, obviously, the 100th anniversary of the Forest Hall. But yeah, look, it's a magnificent building. I would advise anyone, come along next Saturday and Sunday, the 6th and 7th. As I said, we'll be there. There'll be two historians in residence on site at any given time. And 10 o'clock to 5. So 10 o'clock in the morning to 5 p.m.
So you have no excuse. That's 2 days, 6th and 7th, from 10 a.m.
Yeah, so next Saturday, next Sunday, 6th and 7th. And as I said, the Lord Mayor's coach, which we only see on St. Patrick's Day when the Lord Mayor is in it, and when he's brought to the RDS horse show. That's the only time the Lord Mayor is in the coach, but it'll be outside the building. It's an unbelievable coach. I presume you've seen it before. It's absolutely amazing design. So that'll be you can take your photograph with it next Saturday. I think it's around 10 to 4 or something like that.
I'm absolutely amazed that there's only two occasions on which that coach is brought out.
Well, it has to be maintained. You know, you don't want to spoil it by overuse. So
what age is that? Is that the same age?
I'm not sure now what age, but it's going back a long time.
Yeah,
as well.
I'd say
it's similar enough.
It didn't roll off the assembly line in the last 20 years.
No, it definitely
anyway.
Wasn't.
Cormac, just before I let you go, two things that I want to ask you, and probably one of them is a ball from left field, which may not be fair. You mentioned that the architect was Dawson, whom the street...
No, the owner. No, that wasn't the architect.
Sorry, the owner.
Yeah, yeah.
Did he have other buildings?
I don't know. Like, he was obviously a very wealthy man. Like, Dawson Street's named after him. So I'd imagine he had a number of other buildings. But obviously the one he's most famous for is the Mansion House.
And do we know who the architect actually was? Do we know that? Well, I presume it's known, but...
Yeah, it's more known that Joshua Dawson was the man who commissioned it, the man who kind of built it for himself, I suppose, and sold it on to Dublin Corporation. Now, the architect... You know, may be architect historians that would be better suited to be asked that.
Well, it is a magnificent, magnificent building. Beautifully maintained.
Yeah, absolutely.
Smack bang right in the middle of a city. Yeah. And it's there's no excuses, folks, because there's Lewis, there's buses, there's every which way it gets.
It's Dawson Street. Yeah, right beside St. Stephen's Green. So.
Yeah, sure. You know yourself. Tip in. Dates and times, Cormac.
So next Saturday and Sunday, the 6th and 7th of April, from 10 o'clock to 5 p.m., both days.
There you go. You have no excuse. Cormac, before I let you go, Dublin City Libraries. What else is coming up in the historical vein, which is...
Well, I have a talk now, actually, on the Forest Hall in Merino Library on... next Wednesday, the 10th of April, at 6:30 in Merino Library. So it's talking about that very historical meeting of the meeting in the Forest Hall.
Yeah, and indeed, it was very historical, and particularly because of what you said there, Cormac. You know, I mean, despite the fact of so many being elected, there was... A third of them in jail, a third of them there, and a third of them on the run, nearly. I mean, it was...
Yeah. Over half of them are in jail, I think. It was
just to come back to it, because I know you covered it in great detail with Noel at the time, but I have heard, now this might be anecdotal, so, you know, it could be total crap, that the British hierarchy, for want of a better word, or the establishment, they actually allowed the meeting. They could have stopped it, but they allowed it to go forward.
They did.
In the hope, maybe, that some of those who were on their own might turn up and they could nab them.
No, I don't know about that.
Yeah, is that just...
Yeah,
urban legend?
But they definitely... They allowed it to go ahead because they felt it would actually cause more of a fuss if they didn't allow it to go ahead. You know, like the case of making martyrs. They allowed it to go ahead for a number of months, but they actually didn't prescribe it in September of 1919. So, although the first number of meetings were held in the Mansion House... It actually became an illegal body in September 1919. So they had to have Dáil meetings in secret houses all over Dublin. But initially they did allow... They had a meeting about it. They discussed whether to allow it to go ahead or not, and they thought it was better to allow it to happen because that would probably cause less damage, which wasn't true.
Cormac Moore, thank you so much for coming into us this afternoon. It's been fascinating because, as I say, I bet you countless of you walked by that building on numerous occasions and you looked at it and said, oh yeah, that's a nice place, that's where the Lord Mayor lives, and thought no more about it. Next Saturday, next Sunday, 6th and 7th of April, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m, Cormac, yes.
5 p.m, yeah.
Go in, have a look. There's talks on the building. There'll be people there to give you the tour and they will show you some of your own magnificent history. And this building is not, you know, it's a credit to those who, number one, constructed it, but I think more so it's a credit to those who have continued to maintain it to such a high standard. Cormac, always a pleasure. Thank you,
Minnie. Thank you, Donnie.